The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Kyrie worth the trouble? Is Kyrie Irving worth the trouble? Well, let me start by telling you what LeBron did last night, although by now, L.A. time, we're talking about it's noon in L.A., you know what happened, even if you didn't see it live. LeBron James calls his shot, dribbles to the corner, shoots, turns around, faces Dennis Schroeder, and of course hits the three. LeBron has reached formlessness. He's got that glow, like the Last Dragon, like Bruce Leroy or Shownuff. LeBron's got that glow. Kids, if you don't know what the Last Dragon is, you know, ask your dad or Google it. Shownuff. Look at the, which we're playing it on ESPN Plus right now. The way he turns around, looks. LeBron's playing with the league. He's 147 years old, and he's playing with the NBA. And here's the thing about LeBron. Remember when he was with Kyrie Irving? Remember it was unclear. Wait, whose fault is this right here? Because you hear things about LeBron kind of being disrespectful to Kyrie. Kyrie was, you know, you hear like, well, Kyrie wanted to be respected as like 1A or 1B. If LeBron is 1, he wants to be not just a sidekick, but the way Kobe was to Shaq. You know, and Kyrie idolized Kobe, and Kobe loved Kyrie, and you could see like Kobe wasn't like, no, this is Shaq's team and I'm a sidekick. Kobe's like, yeah, okay, you want to feed the big guy? I get it. But I'm just as good as he is. Kyrie, like, was Kyrie doing that with LeBron in Cleveland? Or was LeBron kind of giving Kyrie his hi-hat a little too much? You hear stories behind the scenes. It's becoming increasingly clear who the problem was there. What I mean, no, it takes two. In any relationship, both people do things that aren't perfect. But it's becoming pretty clear that LeBron is able to get along. Like, when he got to Miami, you know, they were unclear who's going to be the one and who's it's Wade's team. And so they lost that first championship against Dallas. And then, but Wade and LeBron worked it out and they won back to back. When he had AD last year, wire to wire, they were the best team in basketball. No one even took them to a game 7. And until the finals, no one took them to a game 6. That's working out just great. And with LeBron, Kyrie won the one and only championship of his career. LeBron knows how to make it work with teammates. He knows how to make it work. Nobody's perfect, but LeBron knows how to make it work with teammates. What about Kyrie? Is he worth the trouble? Is Kyrie Irving worth the trouble? Because we saw him actually make a Boston Celtics team worse. Their record was better without him. In the playoffs, too. We saw him make a Brooklyn Nets team last year, and Kyrie Irving, I think, is the best show in the NBA. If there's one player to watch to put on a show, it's Kyrie Irving. Worth the price of admission just to watch him. He's amazing. But the team functioned better without him. How's that possible? See, Kyrie, when it's not clear that he's number two, has a deleterious effect on a team. That's what the record shows. With LeBron, he's a clear number two. Now, he may have been chafing, wanting to be more like Kobe with Shaq. But as I said, by the way, Kobe and Shaq also underachieved, which is amazing, right? They go to they three-peat and underachieve. They did. They should have won more championships. And Kobe would say that. He used to tell me that. And Shaq says it. They should have won more. And they're both to blame, of course. Kobe didn't want to defer to Shaq. And Shaq should have been more respectful to Kobe. Both of them. Kobe should have been a little more generous in deferring, not being chafing so hard under like the fact that Shaq was the primary offensive option. And Shaq should have been more respectful of what Kobe could do. They would have won even more than three. But here's the thing. Kyrie ain't Kobe Bryant. Kyrie ain't. He's amazing. Kyrie, skills-wise, he's right there with anyone, including Kobe. But Kobe was 6'6". And Kobe, whatever other distractions he had off the court, I mean, Kobe Bryant won an Academy Award. It's not like he didn't have other things he could do other than basketball. But what he realized was, given the amount of time he devoted to basketball in his life, the odds that he would ever be as good at anything as he was at basketball were slim. And he dedicated himself while he still had it in him to the pursuit of basketball greatness. Kyrie is already, you know, thinking about other things and clearly not making basketball a priority. And I understand why in the world right now you might do that. I get it. I feel it myself sometimes. Capitol building's under siege. I'm supposed to come in here and talk about the, you know, wild card weekend, right? Well, you know what? I have other things on my mind. But you get paid to do a job. And also people look to sports for distraction. And also it is possible to do both. Stephen A. said on First Take today, you can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. You can. And yes, sports are trivial. It's a trivial pursuit. It is true. It's not real life. That's what's great about it. That's why sports is the best reality TV of all time. Because there's not a predetermined outcome. Anything can happen. The emotional stakes feel real. You get real emotion. And yet, in the end, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really change the world. So you get to root for it as though your life depends on it, but it doesn't. So I get, so sometimes when real stuff is going on that you feel passionately about, when a great crime is committed against this country by domestic terrorists who are supporting white supremacy, why Kyrie Irving, an African-American player, some kind of social consciousness says, wait a minute, do I know that that's specifically what it is? No, but I imagine it is for me. I imagine it is for many players, white and black, by the way. So, let's take race out of it and just say our democracy is under siege. How do I play basketball with our democracy? I get it. You're getting a paycheck to play basketball. It's the bottom line. You're getting a paycheck to play basketball. Now, Kyrie seems willing to give up that check. Okay. But I would advise him, not just the financial hit he takes, but the reason we're interested in you, Kyrie, in the first place, the reason we're interested in you is because you play basketball. I ain't saying shut up and dribble. I'm not saying that. I am saying dribble, though. But Kyrie, not too much. Sometimes you over dribble. But you get what I mean. In Kyrie's case, I'm saying pass. I'm saying, yeah, dribble and shoot and you got. Now pass and play defense. I am saying dribble. Because it amplifies your platform. It gives you the platform. And even more than that, to get as skilled as Kyrie Irving is at basketball, you must dedicate your life. I don't care how talented you are. You must dedicate your life, and your physical prime is fleeting. So while you have it, get the most out of it, and you have the rest of your life. It's not that you can't also pursue social justice issues or whatever else you want to do now. You have the rest of your life to devote all your energies to that after basketball, and your platform will be more powerful. What you have at your disposal will be greater. If you make the most of your basketball career. And by the way, let me just also say, Kyrie's taking time off for personal reasons. As a human being, I hope Kyrie is okay and his family, his loved ones are okay. Because he's taking, you know, time off. If he has personal issues, I hope that's all okay. Is Kyrie worth the trouble? The answer is yes. He's worth the trouble. Not only because he is a legitimately great player, but because the Brooklyn Nets have championship aspirations. And Spencer Dinwiddie, who's like bubble all-star at his best, right, is out for the year. You need a primary ball handler, and you don't have to look to get one. You got one of the best in the business. So they really need to try to bring Kyrie into the fold. And the idea that he has a deleterious effect on a team, that may be true, but he won a championship with LeBron as the second banana. And given the way KD is playing right now, clearly, KD's the best player on the team. That puts Kyrie in his best spot to help the team. Not having to lead, not having to be the best, just being the second best player on the team. If they can bring Kyrie in, they can win a championship. At least get to the finals. Meantime, a guy who's been talked about, you know, with Kyrie because James Harden wanted to go to Brooklyn. Now, apparently, Philadelphia is on top of his list because of how Kyrie has turned Brooklyn and, you know, upside down. This is what James Harden, who's apparently very unhappy, as is the team with Harden right now, very unhappy in Houston, had to say after the Rockets lost to the Lakers.
Which is not good enough. Obviously, chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games, you know, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, you know, one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I literally have done everything that I can. I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
James looks bad right now. First of all, James, how do you show up looking that fat? Looking like a hot mess. Playing basketball for a living. I understand a big center or something like that who's getting older. So, but an athletic backcourt player? A high-usage backcourt player who can, like, average a triple-double practically? Who's still, even in a down season, is averaging almost 25 a night with assists and rebounds and everything? And until this year was starting to play defense? How do you wind up fat? If you play pickup an hour a day and just don't eat like a pig, you ain't going to be fat. Harden's fat in the NBA. John Wall was told what Harden said and had this to say, James Harden's teammate, about Harden reportedly wanting out of Houston. All right, this is what John Wall had to say.
Any day, a lot of guys here want to compete at a high level. And like I told everybody tonight, and I told the guys before, when the 1 through 15 guys all on the same page and they commit, they know their role, they know what they want to do, they know what they want to get out of this, that's the win, you all will be fine. But when you have certain guys in the mix that don't want to buy in all as one, it's going to be hard to do anything special, do anything good as a basketball team. I've been on those teams. In my 11 years been in the league, I've been on a team like that my first 5 years where it was all about me, not about the team. And that hurts. And it brings everybody down. So when we can get all on the same page, we can be something good here. And we can't dwell down on it because it's only been 9 games. Like, come on, man. You want to jump off the cliff off of 9 games? There's a lot of basketball still to be played.
Locker room's not happy with James Harden from what I hear. And now apparently Houston is sitting Harden out. They don't want him on the team. I warned Houston about this. I warned them straight up. I warned Houston, trade him back then, like a month ago. A superstar in the NBA who wants out has impossible leverage to deal with. Because as time goes on, the threat they pose is that they're going to make public that they want out. And now the league sees them as a distressed asset. Team's going to have to trade them. Because look what happens. It has a terrible effect on the team if you try to keep them. They can earn their check, show up and work, and still have a bad effect on the team. Watch Harden off ball. Watch Harden play defense now. You see he's not really trying. But how do you prove that if you're a basketball team? You're still going to have to pay him, and he's going to kill morale and hurt your chances to win. So you're going to have to trade him. And the longer you wait, the more desperate teams know you are. Do you know to this day, from what I understand, the Rockets don't have a serious trade offer for James Harden? It's not good. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Meantime, my feet are still sweating in these slippers. COVID is very serious, and several hundred thousand Americans have died because the federal government had a disastrous response to this, an incompetent, you know, a malicious response to this. And as a result, hundreds of thousands of people are dead. It could have been something like half that number had they had a competent response, had they even tried. So I understand how serious this is, everybody, and I don't mean to make light of it. There are big problems with COVID, I get it. But social distancing, as a result, working from home and everything, have had all of us make adjustments, right? So one of them is I wear slippers a lot around the house. What can I tell you? My feet get cold. I don't want to walk barefoot. You walk in socks. The kids spill something. Now you got something sticky on the bottom of your socks. So I wear slippers, you know, Uggs with the rubber bottoms, and they got like some kind of fur type stuff inside. And they're great. They keep your feet warm. But the problem is, I don't think they were meant to be worn as many hours as I wear them. My feet get sweaty, and then the Uggs start to stink.
But, Max, I have a solution. So I've had to adjust as you do. You know, obviously, being your hype man, I'm out in Los Angeles, and I do the show from here. Being home, hardwood floors. I don't let people wear shoes inside the house. I bought the Uggs, and I noticed the same thing. I was like, what is that awful smell?
Yeah.
So I started putting on socks.
Well, in your case, it's your upper lip, socks. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, for me,
you start putting on socks and the slippers.
Yeah,
my feet are already hot. I'm going to put on socks with the slippers.
Well, that's a good point. Well, turn down the heat.
Listen, it's like a swamp in here, and I already had to throw out a pair. I put baking soda in this. What do people do? Is anyone having this problem? Or let me ask you this: what's the biggest adjustment? I don't mean for people who've had COVID, for people who have lost family or friends to COVID. I don't mean to make light. I mean, in terms of your adjustment, working from home, for example, what's the biggest adjustment you've had to make? I don't know if it's the biggest one. I know these slippers, there's a real issue with me.
I know your adjustment. You've become an IT expert, pushing buttons, cords, fixing computers and Zooms. Look at you. You've been great, man.
Yeah. I got to go to I could do my computer career. So when this whole thing is over, I have a career to look forward to. David in California on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, what's happening? Hey, I just want to know, because I know you're a big boxing guy, do you think Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia happen in 2021?
I hope so. I mean, we got to see. Ryan Garcia is trying to make it happen. The kid's got 8.2 million Instagram followers. 8.2 million. And he just had a spectacular knockout. Which in a high profile fight. So against a former Olympic gold medalist, who, by the way, Linares and Lomachenko could not knock out. And first thing he does is call for Tank Davis. Knocks out Luke Campbell with a body shot, calls for Tank Davis. By the way, gets up off the deck to do it. Dramatic. And spectacular. Tank wants to fight. Make the fight. And by the way, Ryan Garcia said on Max on Boxing, my boxing show, ESPN2, 5 p.m. Fridays. He said last week, you could check it out on ESPN Plus. It's archived. He said last week, Teofimo Lopez should fight Devin Haney. And I should fight, meaning Ryan Garcia should fight Gervonta Davis, and the winners should fight each other. I love that idea. Dan in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. All right, taking too long. Pierre in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I just wanted to say, bro, Kyrie's the GOAT.
Who's the GOAT?
Jordan couldn't survive without his Pippen.
Wait, who's
what
GOAT?
He did for LeBron in Cleveland, he won a chip with LeBron. You're not winning
Pierre.
The chip without that clutch shot that he
Pierre.
Made out with Klay Thompson.
Pierre, did you just say Kyrie is the GOAT? Does GOAT just mean great player now? I know you're not saying Kyrie is the greatest of all time.
Oh, no, he's not the greatest of all time.
All right, that's what GOAT stands for.
But he's definitely the greatest point guard in the NBA right now.
See, I don't agree with that either. He has the potential to be. Kyrie and Damian Lillard came out around the same time. They were around the same age. Lillard was a little older. And the question was, who you'd rather have? And the answer should be Kyrie. Kyrie's a more skillful player than Damian Lillard, more talented. But he ain't better than Damian Lillard. You'd rather have Lillard. Lillard can lead a team. Lillard has continued to evolve and get better as a player. And has made the most of himself. You'd much rather have, offer Kyrie for Damian Lillard. Watch who says no. Obviously Portland. Kyrie should be better than he is. He's not the best point guard in the game. You'd rather have Steph. You'd rather have Lillard. And you'd rather have a bunch of guys at this point. AD, the Joker, or Embiid. Hear who I ghost. Coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Huge night for AD. An even bigger one for Embiid. see where I rank them. And the Joker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so it is time to play that game, which for these purposes, look, I know, like, sports media has taken it and they say, what is it? Sign, cut, or franchise, whatever, you know. It's a play on a game which we can't, you know, even state the name of on terrestrial radio, let alone on a Disney Channel. However, we can come up with our own version of it. So what is it called? Start, bench, or cut, right? No, this will be called a very different game, Raj. Not start, bench, or cut. This is
that's not how we do things.
In a relationship or ghost. See how clever that is? Not start, bench, and cut. DM, are you DMing? Are you in a relationship, you know, relationship status? Or are you going to ghost them?
Woo, nothing worse than being ghosted, Max. I've been ghosted once, just once.
Now, Bleacher Report today, after our meeting, when we had plans to do just this, had start, bench, or cut. So ours, remember, is not start, bench, or cut. It's DM, in a relationship, or ghost. And the contestants are Joel Embiid, who last night dropped 45 points on 16 of 23 from the field. He was a perfect 13 of 13 from the free throw line. He had 16 boards, 4 dimes, 5 steals as a center, and a blocked shot. And if you watched the game, and I tweeted afterward, Joel Embiid MVP. If you had to hand out awards right now after 9 games, Embiid would be the MVP. But would you have relationship status with him over Anthony Davis? He went for 19 and 10, 2 assists and 5 blocks. However, AD is a champion. He was just the second best player on a championship team, on a great team, the Lakers, that went wire to wire as the best team in the Western Conference. Never got to a Game 7, and until the finals, no one even took him to a Game 6. And by the way, they played a Nuggets team, the Lakers did, that just got past the Clippers, the cardiac kids, never say die, right? And the Lakers played them, and Jokic was not the same when he had to face AD. He was not the same. And that's the third guy in our DM relationship or ghost. Jokic, the Joker, he went for 23, perfect 6 for 6 from the free throw line, 8 boards and 11 assists with a 3-pointer. The thing about Jokic is different from AD or Embiid. They can both pass the ball, but Jokic has different passing ability. He can shoot a little from the outside, and he's maybe the most special passing big man ever. He's also a load down low. I mean, what he did to Montrezl Harrell, you could probably bring him up for charges, crimes against humanity, for what he did to Harrell in the playoffs last year. So, who would you have relationship status with? Who would you just be DMing, and who would you ghost among those three? Where should I start, Raj? The relationship or the ghosting?
You know, I think I'd like to know who you'd... Let's get who's out of the way first. Who are you ghosting, Max? Whose text are you returning?
I'm going to tell you. Nope. I'm going to tell you who I'm in a relationship with. That's the wrong answer.
Why you asked me to?
I was setting you up. Out of these three guys, I think you'd have to be in a relationship with AD. AD is the guy. AD, look, LeBron is the best player in the world, but just based on their performances, if you didn't know everything you knew about the team and those guys and LeBron's influence and just watched the playoffs last year, you might say AD is like, you know, he and LeBron are, that's 1A and 1B. It's LeBron's team, but AD is right there. And the thing about AD is when he was by himself, he didn't get very close to winning a championship. And he had Drew Holiday, he had some guys, Rondo. But the thing is, that's the nature of bigs nowadays. A big needs another guy just as great as him, basically, in order to compete for a championship. By the way, Jokic has Jamal Murray. Embiid has Ben Simmons. So they will make more noise with those guys than AD could make by himself. But AD has put up historically great numbers and just won a championship. and played like a monster. He's the guy. And by the way, Jokic couldn't do anything with AD. So given the fact that I believe Embiid is the MVP, the question remains, is it possible that he is the one ghosted? Could I ghost Embiid even if I made him so far through nine games an MVP? Even though I'd say if everyone's firing on all cylinders, I think the order is pretty clear. AD 1, Embiid 2, Jokic 3. Because Embiid can really affect the game on the defensive end. I think Embiid's been the best defensive player this year. At least for at least through five or six games he was. The answer is, who am I DMing and who am I ghosting? The answer is, something in my throat. Wait a minute. Is that dramatic at all, Raj? The answer is.
Oh, it caught me. It got me.
I'm DMing Jokic and I'm ghosting Embiid. I'm actually DMing Jokic and I'm ghosting Embiid.
That's the MVP.
And this is the reason. Embiid came into the league with a bad leg, and now he has a back issue too. And I believe what happens to Embiid over the long haul is he has to self-load manage. There hasn't been a clear plan for the organization. And I think that's the reason the Sixers' record last year was so much different, or has been so much different, road home. The road home splits are stark because Embiid, I think, chooses to perform in front of the hometown fans and kind of hold himself back a little bit on the road, preserve himself. And to me, what that says is not that he can't be better than Jokic, let's say, for a year, but long term, I'll take the healthier guy. There's that, and there's also this. I saw Embiid outplayed by Al Horford a couple of years ago in the playoffs. Was he tired by that point? Were Horford's feet too quick for him? I don't know. But I just saw Jokic play in these playoffs. AD is a bad matchup for him, as I said. But Jokic was playing like an MVP. I need to see Embiid play like an MVP when it matters most. And then maybe I'll ghost Jokic and DM Embiid and say, I'm sorry, Embiid. I'm sorry, Joel. Slide into your DMs now. We are down to the last eight teams in the NFL. Who made my playoff power rankings cut? I'm only ranking five.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. No bias.
I really like football.
Just facts.
Don't get it crooked here, what I'm saying.
Max's NFL Power Rankings.
All right. Raj, let's do this by telling me who I had in fifth place last week. There are eight teams left. Only five can make the Power Rankings cut. Who was five last week?
Well, let's let the count get us started.
Five!
That's right. You had the New Orleans Saints. Sure how much they impress you, but they covered that big spread. What do you got there now, Max?
Well, considering that the Washington football team's defense really pushed Tom Brady's Bucks, I've actually had the Bucks falling a couple slots down to five. The Bucks are also underdogs right now. They're on the road, and I have them at this moment fifth in the power rankings, replacing the Saints at five.
All right, let's go back to the count.
Four!
Four last week, I believe you had the Bucks. So now we got a new number four, so where are we going?
So you would think it would be the Saints. See that? They moved up.
Yeah.
But in fact, once, it is the Buffalo Bills. The Bills had a tough matchup in their first playoff round, and they won a tough game. But I didn't think it was the kind of dominant performance that would have kept them where they were or elevated them in the power rankings. I do think the Bucks have a real chance this year. I prefer the Kansas City Chiefs to everyone. Did I say Bucks? I meant Bills. But the Bills have a chance because they're a well-balanced team and have an excellent young quarterback, you know, entering his prime. I think Josh Allen is a top-five quarterback. One Mahomes, two Rodgers, even though Rodgers is the MVP this year. Three, Watson, four, Wilson, five, Josh Allen. But they slip a spot because they had a very tough go of it.
All right, where are we going next, Count? So the suspense here are the two teams with the bye week. Did any of them move back to three? Who's number three, Max?
Who was three last week?
Well, last week, three would have been the Bills. So my question is, did the Saints move ahead of one of the teams with the bye, or who's
They
the
did
third?
Not. The Saints are in third. Look, the Saints beat Chicago easily. Yeah. They're very good. Drew Brees is back. Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. Brees has his full complement of weapons. I anticipate that the way the Saints play defense, combined with the fact that Brees has not had to play football for all those games where he was recovering with the fractured ribs and the punctured lung. I mean, football's such a brutal sport. You're like, oh, thank God this guy had a punctured lung and 11 fractured ribs. He got to rest. But it is better than playing football for your health. At any rate, I expect the rested Brees, given the full complement of weapons and a defense, to look better than he has in recent playoffs, in recent postseasons. And the fact that they're at home and the fact that they've already beaten the Bucs twice makes them the favorites here. And I believe the third most likely team to win the Super Bowl at this moment.
All right, where are we, Count? All right. So now the question is, do we have a new number one yet, Max?
Of course not. There was a bye last week. Packers 2, Chiefs 1. Why would it change? The Packers are 2 and the Chiefs are 1. Chiefs are the best team in football. Packers are the best team in the NFC. But I'll say this. Of all the teams to have a bye in that first, what a rough slate the Packers have. They got to play a Rams defense. And you heard Dan Orlovsky on this show yesterday say that defense is kind of made to stop a guy like Aaron Rodgers. And then if they get past the Rams, if they do, they're going to have to play, I mean, either the Saints at home, which I think is a better matchup for them, or if the Bucs beat the Saints in an upset. The Bucs shellacked the Packers earlier this season. Rodgers looked confused by that Bucs defense. Now, maybe it's because Davante Adams just got back and he was forcing him the ball a little bit. Normally, he doesn't throw multiple interceptions. Still, that's a tough matchup for them. And if they get past all those teams, you know, the Rams and either, let's say it's the Bucs, they got to play maybe the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's rough sledding. Look, we learned a lot today. We laughed. We cried. I did not come any closer to understanding what to do about my slippers because of, you know, social distancing and working from home. One of the major adjustments of my life has been I wear slippers around the house. Why would I put on socks and shoes? I wear slippers. I got Uggs, and they're very comfortable. They're, you know, they got that furry inside. But the problem is I wear them all day, and my feet sweat because they're warm. And, you know, they start to stink. I had to throw a pair out already. I don't know what to do. And the callers didn't help me today. We'll see what's next with Kyrie and Harden. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. See you tomorrow. Poop.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.